You unlock this benefit with the key of Patreon. Beyond is another dimension. A dimension of thought. A dimension of speculation. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both waffle and substance. Of things and ideas. You've just crossed into the podcast zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Trekking Through the Twilight Zone. This is me and Julian working our way through the entire back catalogue of the Twilight Zone, episode by episode. And we're going to be talking about some dust. But first and foremost, Julian, how are you doing? You okay?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm going to be up front with this episode. I'm a little conflicted about this episode.
How about it?
First and foremost, like, you know, this is the Twilight Zone. It's supposed to have some sort of, you know, obviously some supernatural or sort of science fiction or something element to it. Two things in this. This episode felt incredibly mean, which I was a little taken back by overall. But also the twist is so untwisty. Like, it never feels like it. The ending, we'll get to it, but the ending of this never sort of amounts to a great deal. Like, so this could be any episode, this could be any show. Take away the idea of the Twilight Zone and you could have this ending and go, all right, okay, I'll move on.
Okay, so let's elaborate on this. You know, first of all, why is it mean?
Well, first, we should explain the episode. So this episode is set in a very small western town. And there's a
in the Wild West,
yeah. And there's a young man who is set to be hanged for killing a young girl because he got drunk and rode his car through this town center, and she got caught under the hooves and the wheels. So he is set to hang. And the funeral for this young girl is happening on the same day that he's due to be hanged. So there's that, and he's sat in there, and there was this sheriff who is obviously sort of like, you know, quite remorseful of this guy having to be hung, because he's like, yeah, look, he made a really stupid mistake, but like, it was not murder by intent. Like, this was manslaughter at best.
He's not happy to be hanging him. You know, yeah. He doesn't make speeches against it or anything. He's just sort of doing his job.
Yeah. He understands that it has to happen, but he's not happy to be doing it. And then you have this character, like this trader, who comes in and is basically willing to trade off anything. And he comes in and he pokes fun at the person to be hanged. And then eventually, sort of like the convicted person who's to be hanged, his father turns up with I think a sister of the convicted, and starts begging for sort of his life. And then he says he's going to sell him this magic dust that will make everybody sort of like feel love instead of hate, and you know, they will let him go. And so he buys it for, and everyone, and he basically buys this bag of dust, which is just bag of dust off the floor. And it turns out that people have loaned money, they've sold horses, they've gathered this thing for 100 pesos and put it into gold. And he buys this thing, and then he's casting it around, and then the rope snaps, and everyone's like, oh well, let's see what we should do. Should we turn? And they turn to the grieving parents and say, what should we do? And they just say, there's been enough killing today, or there's been enough, you know, sorrow today. He's learned his lesson. And all you're left with is the guy who's the trader going, but it's a brand new rope. It's a brand new rope. And I'm going, yeah, but it could be any number of reasons why the rope. That's not what you sold the dust there to do. But the twist isn't that the dust worked. Like, the twist is like the rope broke, and then sort of like they asked, the parents didn't show love. They just sort of went, yeah, there's been enough killing today, we want to move on, let him go. Like, it never seems to, nothing fit together to be like, oh, it's building to this twist that's going to be a payoff. It was disjointed at best, but also like, it just felt mean-spirited.
I would disagree with you. I think that the Sykes character is really just a despicable guy.
Yes.
And yes, he does seem dispirited. He does seem mean. I'm a little confused by why nobody, like the girl doesn't notice, like, wait, you just tried to sell me this message of dust and you're laughing maniacally, yeah, as I'm 2 feet away from you. I just left. Like, I can hear you, right? But yes, he is a bastard. He sold he's taking advantage of a father's grief. And, you know, the rope breaks. I do think that we're supposed to believe that that rope breaking is a miracle. And yeah, ropes break, but this was, you know, five strands, right? Five ropes wound together, It was new. It should not have broken like this. Now, and I like, to me, yeah, okay, so that's the twist. But the twist is also, we don't know whether that dust worked. The twist is that there's some hand of providence at work here, right? Like, God has broken that rope, and God has, you know, done the opposite of hardening Pharaoh's heart. God has let these people not necessarily turn to love, but be able to forgive. And I quite like that ambiguity. I quite liked, you know, it left me thinking, like, is it just the performance of, like, seeing the father? I mean, it reminded me sort of like of a Jodorowsky movie, like this crazy father comes up and starts throwing dirt in the air and saying, mm-hmm. you know, listen to my magic. You know, and one thing that we should point out is that the father and the man who's to be hung are Hispanic in a yes. town of whites. And, you know, so they're already sort of marginal. They're clearly not rich. And when he gets that money, it's presumably from other Hispanics who are on the fringes. And so it's like this, all right, here's this crazy old Hispanic guy throwing dust in the air and saying, listen. And there is this way in which I found myself thinking, just the shock of seeing that, of seeing this guy say that as his son is about to be hung, sort of moves something in the mind. And so that could be the reason why they find forgiveness, or it could be a providential divine intervention thing.
Yeah, it just... I think the problem was, I've seen similar turns in non-genre shows, or non-sort of, like, you know, science fiction-y fantasy shows. That idea of the family sort of turning at the end and saying, like, no, there's been enough suffering or enough killing or whatever today, it's almost a trope of some sort of, like, thrillers or action films. You're like, you know, I can kill him now. No, there's been enough killing today. Like, it's that thing. I'm like, you know, okay, well, I've seen this. So that bit didn't feel like the dust didn't turn their heart. You know, there's no dialogue for them to say, you know, let us move forward in love, or let us move forward with forgiveness and draw a line under this or something, which indicates that the dust has worked. They're just like, no, we've seen enough death. I want to just go home. I don't want this charade to carry on. So it just feels like grieving parents wanting to just move on. So I'm like, all right, well, that feels like I've seen that before, so I'm not so bothered. And the rope breaking, yes, he harps on about how the rope is new and all this other stuff, like that you said the Sykes character mentioned it several times, but then there's no counter to that. There's no one saying sort of like, you know, but the hand of forgiveness, or, you know, the notion of forgiveness is in God's hands or something like that, and, you know, an act of punishment or forgiveness should only be shown by the Almighty, something that says that there is this potential for the hand of providence. It just sort of happens.
They mentioned that and they use the word providence
only after.
Yeah,
there's no build up to it to be like, there is the potential for this, like, you know, this, it's all just this hanging. Although it just felt sort of like you've set up this magic dust and then the rope breaks, and I'm just like, well, they don't feel connected in the slightest. It was an interestingly, you know, performed ending, but it just didn't hold together for me.
Yeah, I mean, I accept what you're saying about how, you know, sort of the cliche of, And I hate those moments in action films where it's like, yeah, you've chased this person across the world, and now you decide you've murdered like 30 people to get to him, and now you decide, like, there's been enough killing. Wait a minute, that didn't apply to his goons who you just gunned down.
The collateral damage that you've caused is, yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, and I do hate that moment, but, you know, you don't have the parents. They, I mean, it might be better, it might be worse if they had more dialogue, right? I mean, they have almost nothing to say except that they want to mourn, you know, their child. They seem grieved.
Yeah.
But so we don't really know how magically, you know, how much of a change it is that they have forgiven him, or they decide there's been enough. But I mean, for me, the dust is, the question isn't really whether the dust is magic or not, right? I mean, I like the ambiguity. I mean, you're saying like that is a twist. I don't think that it's intended to be a twist as much as it's just what's going to happen to this con man who's done this terrible con. Right? Yeah. The dust is just a symptom of that. I mean, this could be a different episode where the dust works. And so I see what you're saying, that like it doesn't then, it, you feel as if it's setting up that twist and then it doesn't do it because you have the rope break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel as if it was setting up that twist. I mean, I felt like, you know, this is a sort of, the question is it the hand of providence? I like the idea that the sheriff, who's not really happy about this, cut the rope and sort of, you know, let this happen. But I do rather, you know, to me, I love the father showing up and throwing dirt in the air and acting crazy and thinking, you know, if you didn't know why he's doing this, as the viewer does, you think, what is going on here? This man has lost his mind because he's about to watch his son die. And that display, I mean, maybe I'm writing, doing what I shouldn't do and sort of interpreting too strongly here. But that display seems to be part of, combined with, okay, the rope broke. Well, do we get another rope? Do we string him up? Do I say that in front of this old man who's clearly like lost it?
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, because they don't try to stop the hanging beforehand.
No.
You know, but it's like, all right, well, the rope is broken. You can interpret that as providence if you want. This old man is right in front of us, clearly, you know, overjoyed that his son is alive, but, you know, we don't know that he's been conned. They don't know that he's been conned. But I mean, to me, all that stuff works. To me, I like that moment where there's a sort of spirit of forgiveness that enters them. And I quite like that. I was moved by that moment. I will say the very end, like this person who is, there's just a mean, sadistic monster is like totally ready to accept that this rope only could have broken due to providence, and he's going to give away all the money that he got for, you know, which is like, why not return it to them, first of all? Why give it to these unrelated children, to the poor children of town? And why, if you feel moved, why not return it to these poor Hispanics who, you know, have just sold their car, sold, you know, everything? I don't know.
No, I agree. That bit felt a bit like, again, he is trying to sort of like wrestle with this moment that's happened, this thing that's taken place. And like you say, he just gives away to like these gold pieces to these like random kids. And I was thinking the same, like, hang on, the guy and his son who's just been is literally feet away. Like they've literally probably a couple of meters away. Catch them and give them the money back. Like it's that felt. Yeah, I was the same. I was like, this bit makes doesn't work for me either. I would say, like you say, going back to the actual moment of the hanging, and the moment when the father is throwing the dust and stuff, I will say there's a couple of moments in that are shot incredibly well, and was a little bit shocking because you have, like you say, the father sort of, you know, in this elaborate sort of routine of like casting the dust around and making this whole palaver of saying, like, you know, let the love in and all this other stuff. And then he's there and he's sort of like, you know, he realizes that it is what it is, sort of like it isn't working. And all you hear is the dropping of the sort of the trap door. And you don't see him fall. You just hear the noise and then the yank of the rope. And you just see the father's reaction. And it's just timed brilliantly, and it's really effective that moment because it is a bit of a gut punch. When I was like, first off, I was like, oh, like the twist is they actually have hung him. All right, well, that's that's a really dark episode of Twilight Zone. it was a real sort of gut punch moment. And then after it's revealed that the rope has snapped and he sort of reached the floor. But for a split second, like, it really got me. And I was like, wow, that's really well done. And quite brave to have that moment of just for a second of like, I don't know, but they may have just hanged the character.
No, I agree with you. I like that shot and I like that moment. If I have a complaint, it's like, shouldn't you say something before you pull the trap door, right? Like, you know, not just because there's a man in front of the platform throwing dust around and whatnot. But yeah, I did think that was well done. And I love the old man, you know, throwing that dirt in the air and sort of, you know, what he's saying is like, you must listen to the magic. You must, you know, you must. There's a sort of like the desperation of this guy to believe in this magical thing. And with the caveat that the con man's, you know, giving the gold away and who he gives it to is not good. I mean, I don't like that. But if it ended before then, and we're left with this question of, which I think is a very real world question of, how do you interpret this? There's no clear divine intervention. Clearly, you know, one man thinks there was, but it leaves me thinking, you know, how often people interpret something to a miracle, to, you know, divine intervention, how random that is. If you don't believe that, like, well, we just tried to hang a guy, you know, like this is not an ordered universe. This is one in which people who are lucky then interpret it as divine. But I found myself thinking about all of that and thinking about how we attribute things to the divine, but also how, in some sense, the real miracle, the real holiness is in that forgiveness and is in, you know, being able to say, nothing's going to bring my child back. And, but, you know, I don't need this vengeance. This is not somebody who deserves to die for this. And so I was very moved by that stuff. You know, if you accept the ambiguity and the sort of reading that I'm advocating.
No, I can see that. And I can see where you know, that interpretation of it. And I can accept for that. But yeah, it's still a clunkier episode for me. Any final thoughts though on Dust?
No, I'm good. I think that you know, it should be called Dirt, really.
Yeah.
It is Dirt.
Yes, this thing of dust, like, you know, it's not dust, is it? Like, pull it off the top of a table or something. But yeah, but no, it was all right. It has its small moments, but overall, this one was worked less for me. But ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying, you know, us dusting through these episodes. And thank you for listening, and thank you for your support. And hopefully, you'll join us on the next episode.